Good afternoon and welcome. You're listening to The Word from the Trenches on Patriot Broadcast from the Trenches, 89.5 Micro FM, Chiloquin, the state of Jefferson. Simulcast on the Grow Your Own Channel, 107.5 FM, Greenville, South Carolina. The Jalapeno Channel, 87.9 FM, Sioux Falls, South Dakota. And numerous other micro broadcasts and webcasts across our great nation. Our website is FromTheTrenchesWorldReport.com. We open the broadcast with Trenches by Pop Evil. It is... it's Evil Weasel Wednesday. It's also the 23rd day of May, 2018. It's 12:04 Pacific Time. I'm your host, Henry Shively. This is a live call-in program. Listeners are encouraged to join in the conversation. If you'd like to call in, the number is 641-715-3610. A nice lady will come on the line and ask you for the conference room you want, and that would be 2200-29 and then the pound sign. Again, that's 641-715-3610. And then enter 220029 and hit that pound sign. Of course, you have to punch in *6 to unmute if you want to come up on the air and mix it up with me today. Well, it's currently 67 degrees here, 4,200 feet in the high Cascades of northern Jefferson, and we're looking for a high of 71 degrees today for the Klamath Basin. And we could hear thunder rolling in. We're supposed to have thunderstorms, so if we disappear all of a sudden, like, you'll know why. That being said, let's see what we're going to jump into here. Gas hits $5 a gallon in New York City. And we're definitely going to get into it. We're going to complain about it just a little bit as soon as we return.
Listening to PBFTT.
Patriot Broadcast from the Trenches, 89.5.
Micro FM.
Chiloquin, the state of Jefferson.
Bringing you the word from the trenches, please give a big round of applause for Henry Shively.
Alrighty then. Gas hits $5 a gallon in New York City. This is from Fox 5, New York. It was sent in by Mark Schumacher for discussion on FromTheTrenchesWorldReport.com. With the summer travel season fast approaching, gas prices are on the rise, but some people are getting sticker shock in Manhattan. Regular gas hit $5 a gallon at least one station. A mobile station on 11th Avenue in Hell's Kitchen has raised its prices to $4.99 a gallon. That's well above the current average for the five boroughs. AAA says the average in New York City is $3.18 a gallon. And
they come out. You know, you got a glut of gas. You know, it's all our lives, all my life, I've been ripped off under that guise of supply and demand.
There's still a glut out there, make no mistake. But, I mean, they go and they put embargoes on other countries and what might have you. That's going to hurt those other countries. I'll tell you who those embargoes hurt. It hurts the poorest people in this country. And gas, I mean, gas is the one thing that gets everybody. It gets all the working poor. Absolutely, 110%. And everybody knows it. It's $3. I think, man, the cheapest place actually is the casino down there. It's even cheaper than in Klamath Falls. And it's like $3.12 a gallon. I've seen it as high as $3.65 a gallon here. And I mean, it's just you need to sit down for a while, poor people. You need or else you got need to turn over more of your money to the goddamn. The bottom line is, people, they opened up the export of raw resource, and they
took our reserves that we bought in the 70s and they cashed those all. Where'd all that money go? Did you guys get that money back that we, you know, we paid all that money for those reserves in the 70s? Actually, that was like sitting in a bank building interest, because what it cost back in the 70s and what it costs now, we should have got a profit on that, right? No, we get what we get down at the goddamn station, man. Yeah, I mean, this is my one of my pet peeves. I mean, when I've seen things actually pick up is when the gas went down to nothing. More people were out doing things, you know. They, I mean, out doing, like, work in their yards and shit, you know. They could actually afford a few gallons of gas to go do something. But no, I mean, they gave that big $50, that big $50 to some. Some got $1,000. But you know what? Between the putting it in your tank and what it's going to raise the price of products that you go to the store to get. I mean, even they're coming on the mainstream and telling you, well, I guess that tax cut, the people didn't get shit out of that. Well, actually, they're handing it right back to the son of a bitches who got the rest of it, aren't they? Across the river in New Jersey, the statewide average is $3. The price gap has shrunk between New York and New Jersey after a huge gas tax increase was enacted in the Garden State during the Christie administration. I mean, and more tax on it. They want to put more tax nationwide across, you know, on it. So they, and that's what will end up happening, too. They'll put another big tax on it, and then all that money can go to Chow or Cho or whatever her name is, the head of the transportation department. And her Chinese allies, and we'll pay to refurbish all the roads, and they'll own them. Somehow they'll just, well, we had to sell them to them. They're the only ones that could fix the roads with the Chinese. They had to come over to fix the roads, and you paid for it, and they own your goddamn roads. Now you can pay them toll going down. I mean, hey, when that Chinese road cop pulls you over that on Chinese territory and beats you down, man, you can just, hey, man, you know what? You allowed it to happen. You deserve everything you get. AAA says the national average for regulars $2.93. God, that's up 12 cents in the past 2 weeks. And people don't realize, we talked about it, it was like $4.4 billion more they made last month than they did the year before. $4.4 billion. That came out of mostly working people's pockets, because that's your transportation. Now they're going for the big gouge. You might actually get away for the weekend. And so they're gonna gouge you again if you know, going on your vacation, or if you can. I mean, you know, it's Memorial Day weekend coming up, and that's when the prices, naturally the prices go up because of supply and demand, don't you know? But when there's a glut of it, well, you know, that supply and demand thing kind of kicks out, and we're just gonna hold the gas. I mean, we've got a glut of it, but hell, you know what? You'll use what you use. You'll pay what we say, even if it did come from your resource, and you get is gouged for your natural resources in this country, people. Seahawks owner gives $1 million for more Washington State gun control. This is from Breitbart. It was sent in by Joe STP for discussion on From the Trenches, worldreport.com. Seattle Seahawks and Portland Trailblazers owner Paul Allen is pushing a Washington State gun control initiative in response to the May 18th Santa Fe High School shooting. I'll tell you what, boycott. Hey, you people that you go to these games, I mean, you are traitors, man. You go and you bet, you're giving this son of a bitch the money to cut all our throats. And this, I mean, they talk about this guy being, you know, the big money forcing this shit. They're no different than Facebook, all the rest of this shit. This is the oligarchs in this country, and they're going to force their way on us. And you're seeing it more every day. The initiative number 1639 is called Safe School, Safe Communities, and it expands the gun controls placed on law-abiding citizens via the Universal Background Check Initiative that passed in 2014. You know, we were talking yesterday, California Jerry Brown wouldn't sign another piece of legislation that would just give you we're about down to an anonymous phone call to have somebody come and attack you at your house because you have guns. But because it's just pushing too fast. We're doing this too fast, man. We're going to get shot. And you are. You keep pushing. You need to do this. This is showing these goddamn communist pieces of shit. You go to a Trailblazers game, you go to a goddamn Seahawks game, you're a goddamn traitor. You support this son of a bitch and the shit that he's promoting. He's against your second article right. So what you want to do is you want to go there and you want to buy popcorn and pop the whole fucking nine yards, man. It's fat in his pocket, and he'll come and take your guns. And pretty soon, because you are so stupid, he will have you kneeling over a ditch with a 40 caliber pistol at the nape of your neck, and there ain't a goddamn thing you can do about it but just sit there and take the bullet. Alan tweeted, my statement on gun safety initiative in my home state of Washington Initiative 1639 is a reasonable, here we go, just a reasonable infringement, a reasonable removal of right. There's just, as long as it's reasonable, they can do it. It says it right there in the Bill of Rights. The Ninth Article says they have no power, unless it's reasonable. Unless they're being reasonable about it. I think they just completely dismiss the whole document. Is a reasonable and necessary measure that will improve the safety of our schools and our communities, which is why I have contributed $1 million to the campaign. Know you people that go out there and you go and you frequent these Seahawks games, you go watch the Portland Trail Blazers, you pay those ticket, you pay for your tickets to get in. Well, you know what? You're the ones that are actually paying for this to cut our throats. I hope people throughout the state, will support the campaign. So that we can qualify and pass that important initiative into law. Initiative 1639 raises the legal age for semi-automatic rifles without authority to do so. This government has no authority over our rights. We've gone over it 100 times. The Ninth Article, in fact, forbids it. But in spite of the Ninth Article, what Ninth Article? Oh, you mean the people, that people's document that, well, maybe this is, you know, the whole document is just an imaginary thing. Like the guy said, they're going to go for the real Bill of Rights. It says that they can take our goddamn rights and put us into slavery. That's what the real Bill of Rights says, people. The government has complete control. It can do whatever it wants. You can't stop it. You just got to obey. To 21, although the gunman at Santa, I mean, and here goes your argument. Here comes your argument from the people that are against it. Although the gunman at Santa Fe High School used a shotgun, it also creates an enhanced universal background check system. Although the Santa Fe High School gunman used his father's guns, irrelevant. This is blatant infringement. This is blatant just dismissal of your rights by a body that has to be a foreign invasion into your country because your goddamn government, you never empowered any government to do this shit to you. Don't you see it? Gunman used his father's guns, thereby bypassing any point of sale check. But see if, I mean, the initiative would also, that's your argument, that's what you're going to go argue this, and they'll come up, well, that was a pretty good argument, but, you know, you really don't have the standing, we've interpreted the subject matter of your argument to be, well, insignificant and irrelevant to the situation, and we're going to do it anyway. Well, you need to do it. You goddamn dirty bastard, you need to do it, but they're not gonna. It's just put, like I said, they're just piling this shit on. This is what they did in Australia. People aren't seeing that. I mean, if you go back and look after Australia had their Sandy Hook, this is exactly what they did. They couldn't get it on a federal level because the people, you know, were looking at that big, bad federal government. So this is exactly what they did. They went to each whatever the equivalent of the states over there are. I think they're provinces or some kind of shit. But at any rate, they went there and they passed all of these laws. And then, man, it was just there. So, it became federal. You know, I guess you could make the argument that if a majority of the states had passed the same law across the board, like this enhanced background checks, that would be almost like, amending the Constitution. Only you can't amend that Bill of Rights, but this is what they're going to say. They know they can't amend it. They know they can't amend the Bill of Rights. It's articles to the First Amendment, the Ninth Article saying you can't amend it. So this would be the way to do it. If, you know, well, 51% of the people have done it, we're just putting it on the books. We're not saying that we're removing anything. I mean, this is on the books. This is what the law is going to be, or the lack thereof. Enhanced background checks on Santa Fe. Okay. The initiative would also put in place a firearm safety course for would-be firearm purchasers. This means if you want to go buy a frickin' gun, you're going to have to go and get a permission from the state. You're going to have to qualify with the state, and then the state's going to give you the permission to exercise your unalienable absolute right. Or they can deny the permission for you to exercise your unalienable right. And we're already, with this background check, you're paying a fee to ask the government if it's okay to exercise a right. Don't people see that? I mean, when they first came up with this idea of background checks, it's one thing. The check was an unauthorized, without authority action they took. But on top of it, you're going to pay them to violate your goddamn rights. It just blows me away. And then they take that money, and what do they do with it? More gun control. I mean, you're feeding the apparatus just like the Seahawks guy here. You're feeding the apparatus. You go and just to go and exercise the right. You're feeding the apparatus that's destroying the right.
I guess people need more education. What do you think?
I don't know, man. I mean, this seems like it's so obvious and in your face. just simple logic, I guess, is being dismissed. I mean, people just don't even look at it like that. You know, like the background, I got to go pay $15 for a background check. No, you're paying $15 to exercise a right, aren't you? Am I wrong here?
No, my point is that you can't educate the son of a gun that are uneducatable. I heard someone else say you got to keep educating. It's all over with the education part.
If you haven't figured this out, I mean, even watching the mainstream propaganda machine, just like this right here, this isn't nothing special. This isn't some conspiracy theory somebody's laying out there, you know, that they can say. This is just reporting what they're doing. And what they are doing is well, they're telling you that you're going to go to the state and you're going to fill out a request to exercise your right. And then they're going to come and they're going to, what the hell does it say here? You're going to do one of their safety courses. You're going to pay them. You're going to pay somebody who just knows everything better than you. I mean, raised with freaking guns all your life, but now you're going to pay somebody. I mean, you're talking people that, you know, I grew up with guns. I mean, when I say I grew up with guns, I grew up with guns. I've slept with them since I was 12 years old. Okay. I've grew up with guns, but you're going to have to meet the mark of the state before we can grant you your right to own a firearm. This is what this says. I mean, this isn't rocket science. This isn't something that, you know, it could go this way or that way. That's exactly what this says. And you're right, man. This, if you further educate, the people out there, they're not uneducated. They do not want to. Man, a kid puts their hands when they don't hear you, you know, you're torturing a little kid. I mean, you're giving them shit, you know, and they'll put their hands over the ears and go, blah, 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 blah. That's what they're doing. It's not that this isn't a matter of education, man. This is a matter of priorities that people have got trying to, you know, they understand. I mean, it's a pretty clear thing that if this is real, then you're in a hell of a situation, man. You either gonna, I mean,
it's a matter of them making more money.
Yep.
That's all it is.
I'm sorry to say it, but I mean, ma'am, and I mean, we've had our morality stripped from us. We've had our rights stripped from us. And it's all been done with one simple goddamn thing, and that is the money, the mammon. I mean, the control of the monetary system. This is how this has all been orchestrated. Even what we're talking about here, like I said, when they say a gun safety course, so that's going to cost you $150. I mean, we're going to go into another article with Bloomberg. I mean, this is how they coerce a right out of you. I guess if you can't afford $150, I mean, if you're poor, this is what it is. It's starting to separate the people into goddamn mammon social classes. $150 would be a lot of. I mean, hell, that's probably a cheap thing in cities like New York and shit. I got to believe it. $2,000 or $3,000. How would that be if it was $2,000 or $3,000 for the gun safety course that you have to go to get this permission from your government to exercise your right that they have no say over, according to the ninth article? What if it's $3,000? I mean, I guess that's going to just cut some people right out of the idea that they can exercise that second right. They can't have a gun. Because you can't afford it. It's like this, you know, NRA even backed out with the goddamn insurance, you know, the individual liability insurance for the gun owners. Oh, and they sell it. You can go, the NRA will sell you that insurance. And pretty soon, just like, you know, because they got their own little gig going here, their own little scam, you got to have, well, let's say you got to do a couple of grand for the class here. And then, you know, $300 or $400 a year, may not be cheap, $300 or $400 a year for liability insurance. I guess some people just don't get a gun, huh? I guess some people just don't have a right. I guess the right, it would come down to the right being conditional on, well, money, mammon. Mammon would decide who can have a gun and who cannot. Where were we here? Safety course for would-be firearm purchases, requiring them to secure a certificate from the state. That is a certificate. That is a permission from the state to exercise a right. You could be, who couldn't see this? Who could not see this? Who can claim to just, well, I just don't get it. What? It isn't bullshit. It isn't that these people can't be educated. It's because they have found a niche, and they know how freaking bad it is. But man, I've seen people like this early on, you know, and when I was in my 20s and maybe early 30s. But I'd met a lot of people and talked to them about this shit, you know, stuff. I know, but I'm glad I'm going to be dead before it all goes down. I've heard it how many times. And it's not that they didn't know. It's not that they weren't educated. It's just, oh man, I can get through it. Fuck my kids. Fuck my grandkids. Screw it all. And you know what? This is how we got here today. It was the prior generations from us doing the same shit. You go back to Smedley Butler and what the heck was his name? The other guy, Jordan, yeah. What was it? Major Jordan, yeah. You know, we covered all that. I mean, we've always, you know, sorry, I didn't think if people could just find out what's going on, it's going to stop. No, that ain't the problem. The problem is people are shit, man. There's too many people out there that, well, it's not that there's too many people that are shit. It's just the people who will go along with this shit. They get the wealth. The mammon's going to support their position of being stupid, not stupid, wantonly stupid. And complying with the enemy. You're gonna do better with your mammon if you're complying with the enemy, you see. And so when you punish true patriotism and reward treachery, you're gonna have treachery. It's the carrot and the stick, man. You take the stick to the people who are actually true patriots, and you give the carrot to the people who will sell them out. And that's what you're seeing today. And like I said, well, like the caller said, this hasn't a damn thing to do with education. It has to do with goddamn self-serving people, you know, self-interest. That's all you care about. And like I said, when you look at the big picture, the people who can get a voice are the people, the very same ones who stole the goddamn country from you. They don't want this shit to stop. They want it to get back in control of it, make no mistake. They see that communist monster out there, and it is a spooky shit. You know, you look back at what happened to Russia, and you look at what happened in places like Vietnam and Cambodia and China, and it's a scary situation, but it's not like we effed this things up so bad, man, that we got to get this straight. Now we go back to a constitutional republic and get our people all in order, get the goddamn foreigners out here and get ready to defend our lives. No, what we need to do is, man, you know, it's like you're looking at these powerful institutions and they'll come out and they'll complain about them. Just like the BLM. What a terrible son of a bitch that BLM is. But they don't want to get rid of the BLM. If you suggested that, going out and taking your arms to taking up arms against the illegal, unconstitutional running violation of the Bill of Rights BLM. Oh man, you're radical anti-government. I don't even want to, don't talk to me. I don't want to be associated with you. But at the same breath, they are the people that created the BLM. It's becoming even, what I'm saying here is it's become even a bigger monster and they know it. It's just pure power and they're looking at it and they're not looking to destroy that pure power. They're looking to get in control of it. So that they can take control over you. So that they continue to control your resource. But what belongs to all of us, a handful of them, continues to get it all. And that's really what it's all about. It's about industry, people. Sell out, sons of bitches. But again, I won't hear that argument either. It doesn't have a damn thing to do with education. Would-be firearms, certificate from the state before allowed to purchase a firearm. Again, this would not have stopped the Santa, but here's your argument. No, again, you can't do this because the ninth article says you do not have the authority to do this. This is an act of sedition against the people and the Bill of Rights. We got the right to shoot you if you try to do this. That's the argument. But then that would be radical, you see. Much safer to say, that guy didn't have that gun, so you can't really ask that. We can have a discussion. We can have a conversation about it, people. The initial, you know, we can compromise. How's that compromise working out for you? The initiative webpage mentions everything from domestic violence prevention to a firearms trace data, which is a leftist speak for micro-stamping. Micro-stamping is the theoretical process by which a distinct mark is placed on each shell casing, giving each one a fingerprint. To date, the idea has been a miserable failure. But, you know, they talk about they tried this and it didn't work and it's just, it ain't going to solve nothing. It doesn't solve crimes. That's why you can't do it, because it doesn't solve crimes. Not because it's a violation of the frickin' Bill of Rights, the second article, but because it doesn't work. If it worked now, it'd be fine. Make them stamp it. But where does that shell stamping come from? Well, I think that's that United Nations Small Arms Treaty we talked about here, you know, about 4 or 5 years ago when they first came in and no way is that ever going to be done in the United States. You just can't do it. Senate wouldn't even consider it. I mean, you're talking about, well, stamping every round of ammunition and having to account for every round of ammunition, having a background check for every round, for every person even buying ammunition. You could never have that in the United States. what's it, 4 or 5 years later, and, well, here we are. I guess we had a conversation about it. And we lost that argument somehow. I don't know where the argument was or where it went, but, it, well, here we are. Here they are talking about it. A distinct mark is placed on each shell casing, giving each one a fingerprint. To date, the idea has been a miserable failure, and that, in so much as it drives up cost. Oh, that's what the idea is. They want, it's like putting a tax on the ammunition. How do you stop people from getting it? You just make it so they can't afford it. I mean, you start cutting up, you see. If you start cutting from the bottom, cutting, getting the people's guns and coming up, pretty soon you reach your assholes that are your sellouts, and then they're all that's left. And then you go out and you slaughter them like they did in Russia. And goddamn, you got the whole kit and caboodle, don't you? Just by a little percentage of sellouts, about 12% on one side and about 6% on the other side of sellouts. That's who's going to, this is who's fucking us, people. These are the people we should be hunting down like goddamn dogs. Every time they walk out on the street, they should be getting a shit beat out of them. Or worse. Michael Stan, where are we? Cost providing police with the windfall of failure in so much as it drives up costs without providing police with the windfall of information. This is their argument. It's driving up the cost, and this isn't that its government is trying to exercise a power it cannot have. This is not an insurrection against the people's Bill of Rights. No, what the argument here is, it ain't going to give the police what they want to get out of it, okay? If it did, I guess we would have no argument against it then, right? So that's what they tried to, the standard they tried to set. Well, this is the argument. If we can take care of this little argument here, we can go ahead and infringe, right? No, because that ain't the argument, and it's not going to be the argument. For example, on November 8, 2015, Breitbart News reported that Maryland ended its ballistic fingerprint program after 15 years, $5 million spent, and no crime solved. Oh, well, there's your argument. But, man, I mean, somebody's getting, all you got to do is beat that argument. You don't have to say that you're going to, you know, remove the Bill of Rights or remove the second article. All you got to do is beat that argument. And in a world of open subject matter, well, you could say anything, couldn't you? And all it takes is just, well, that 12 or 8% or 6% to agree with you. Hey, done deal. You guys lost your guns. We're going to price your asses right out of it. And I think we're at the bottom of the hour here. We're going to take our bottom of the hour break. We'll be right back.
Thank you for listening to PBFTT.
Patriot Broadcast from the Trenches, 89.5.
Micro FM.
Chiloquin, the state of Jefferson.
Just watch more.
You're listening to The Word from the Trenches on Patriot Broadcast from the Trenches, 89.5 Micro FM, Chiloquin, the state of Jefferson. The Word from the Trenches is a listener-sponsored broadcast. If you'd like to help keep this programming on the air, go to FromTheTrenchesWorldReport.com and hit that donate button. Or you can mail donations to Henry Shively at Post Office Box 964, Chiloquin, Oregon, 97624. Your contributions are appreciated. I'm your host, Henry Shively. It is 12:35 Pacific time, and that was JB and the Moonshine Band with a shotgun, a rifle, and the 45. Now, we were talking about compelled performance through taxation. Well, here you go. Left-wing billionaire Michael Bloomberg. Raising taxes on poor is a good thing. This is from American Tax Reform, sent in by Mark Schumacher for discussion on FromTheTrenchesWorldReport.com. Nanny state imposing left-wing billionaire Michael Bloomberg is now on video admitting how much he likes to raise taxes on poor people, calling such tax hikes a good thing. For years, Bloomberg has personally funded and promoted all sorts of regressive taxes and regulations in an attempt to push people around. He uses the coercive power of the government. No, the coercive power actually is going to come down to mammon, and you'll see why, to force people to live their lives as he sees fit. So here is Bloomberg on stage with another global Mandarin, Christine Lagarde of the International Monetary Fund. He refers to low-income individuals as those people. Boy, aren't we, you know, those insignificant people. And then takes a shot at coal miners and the U.S. military. He clearly reveals his ignorance, bullying worldview. Michael Bloomberg says, some people say, well, taxes are aggressive, but in this case, yes, they are. That is the good thing about them, because the problem is in people that don't have a lot of money. And so higher taxes should have a bigger impact on their behavior. See, if maybe I was thinking about it, you know, if you did turn around to where it's $3,000 for a class and all this stuff, you know, a fellow like me could save up for 3 or 4 years and I could exercise a right maybe a week. Is that how it works in this country? The purchase of a right for a week from the government who controls you and owns you? Behavior, should have a bigger impact on their behavior and how they deal with themselves. Man, if this isn't real, I mean, like we said about this education thing, what do you want, people? What the hell has to be said here? So I listen to people saying, oh, we don't want to tax the poor. Well, we want the poor to live longer so that they can get an education and enjoy life. See, he's just looking out for his goyim, his property. And that's why you don't want to do exactly what a lot of people say you don't want to do. The question is, do you want to pander to those people? Or those people, you know, those insignificant people who own this goddamn country. This prick should be hanging right now. Or do you want to get them to live longer? That's there's just no question. If you raise taxes on full sugary drinks, for example, they will drink less. And there's no question that full sugar drinks are one of the major contributors to obesity and obesity. This is what it reads. I don't know who wrote it. And one of the major contributors to heart disease and cancer and a variety of other things. So it's like saying, I don't want to stop using coal because coal miners will go out of work. And I mean, just these arguments, this bullshit. What they want to do is control every, I mean, from the time you get out of bed, you will go and you will eat what you take your Soylent Green pills. You will go and you will turn the cogs of industry. You will come home, eat your, Soylent Blue pills, and then you would use a set and get your indoctrination, brainwashing, and then, you know, go and take your pills and go back to bed and get up the next day and do it all again, and that's your life. And that, I've decided that's a good enough life for you other people, you insignificants. We have a lot of soldiers in the United States in the U.S. Army, but we don't want to go to war, to start a war, just to give them something to do. We don't? Where in the hell did you get that from? I see a whole goddamn industrial war complex in high gear out there sending people to slaughter. They want to send some right now, don't they? We need something to do. We need to go conquer the Middle East for our Jewish masters, you know, for Zion. But we do, but we don't want to go to war, start a war just to give them something to do. And that's exactly what you're saying when you say, well, let's keep coal killing people because we don't want coal miners to lose their jobs. The truth of the matter is that there aren't very many coal miners. You know, if they weren't thieving our goddamn resources from us, every one of us would be living like a Saudi king. That's how much wealth pricks like Bloomberg are stealing from us. And then sitting there, you know, you shouldn't drink no soda pop because, well, I must be above you. I must be like your God. I can tell you what to do and how to do it. The truth of the matter is that there aren't very many coal miners left anyways, and we can find other things for them to do, and that's what we're here. We're the controllers. We'll tell you what to do. We'll control your lives from the cradle to the grave. We'll tell you when to get up, when to sit down, when to take a shit, when to take a shower, if we give you a shower. But the comparison is a life or a job. Our taxes, or taxes, or life. When do you want to... Which do you want to do? Take your poison. Christine Lagarde, she says, so it's regressive. It's good. There are lots of tax experts in the room and financial experts, and I'm very pleased that they hear you say that. And they all say that two things in life which are absolutely certain. I love this. I mean, this is just playing on this, you know, this generational indoctrination into slavery. One is death and the other is taxes. So you use one to defer the other one. They're talking about us like we're goddamn cattle here, people. But I can understand how some people just couldn't see this. I mean, just, well, no, it wouldn't really benefit them to see it because you'd have to do something about it if you admitted it or admit that you're a coward and, or else you're a part of it and you're complicit. Bloomberg, that's correct. That's exactly right. Well said. Applause. Well, hell yes. For years, billionaire Bloomberg sat atop an ivory tower with a massive checkbook, judging the appropriateness of raising prices on low-income consumers. He has no concept for the difficult choices consumers make on a daily basis, and despite claiming he cares about things like public health, he's actually championed taxes and policies that harm it. Let's just, I mean, just like this push to, you know, get the oil pumped out of this country so that we can get oil up on the national market or in the international market to $70 a barrel so that I can go pay $3.12 a gallon for gas that I can't afford. So I guess I'm cut out of driving. Maybe I'd just start walking. Maybe all the poor people should walk. That'd be better for the environment, wouldn't it? For one, he's committed $20 million in the last year alone to demonizing people who decide to quit smoking cigarettes. Many are able to quit thanks to the help of tobacco-free alternatives like vapor products, but Bloomberg is a major funder of organizations like Campaign for Tobacco-Free Kids, an organization that pushes prohibition of vapor products despite the growing international consensus that they are at least 95% less harmful than cigarettes. You know this idea, you know, he's talking about the sugar. They, my generation, when we were kids, they gave us goddamn immunizations with cancer in them. So that's why you see everybody around you 50, 60 years old dropping dead of cancer. Because they poisoned us. I mean, this pretense. No, it's about controlling your life. Right down to your very thoughts. I mean, the other example of, you know, you're going to go and you're going to get a permission from the government to exercise your Second Article right to have a gun. I mean, this whole, what aren't these people seeing? Bloomberg also bankrolls the effort to raise the cost of everyday groceries in places like Chicago, New Mexico, Philadelphia, and Washington through higher beverage taxes. Soda taxes don't work. They are aggressive, unpopular across the political spectrum. Well, they do work to the point that people still drink every, you know, they're doing exactly what they're doing. You're just stealing from them. You're just taking a bunch of money on a tax. Well, it's a good idea for a tax. Excise tax? I mean... And when this talked about in the anti-federalist papers, right down to the guy, now it's pop. I mean, pretty soon it'll be the water they own that you have to live. And you're going to go in, you're going to pay $3 a gallon to water for them, for the water from them because it's their water. Somehow it ended up being theirs of all the people that were here. Just that handful ended up with all the water, like they ended up with all the oil, like they ended up with all the gold and silver. Just a handful. We don't know how it happened. They're just lucky, I think. They are aggressive, unpopular across the political spectrum, and they result in low-income people having less income in their pockets. Duh. So does when they gouge us on the gas. When they said, you know, hey, this is deliberate. I mean, you watch them put the pieces in place for this result, and here you are handing over your goddamn money you do not have just for a gallon of frickin' gas that coming from your resource that you get nothing from except tyranny. The outcome is lower economic mobility simply because billionaires, Bloomberg, has no fundamental understanding of what it means to live paycheck to paycheck. So while he entertains the world's wealthy as his money is being used to make it harder for Americans to afford energy bills, mortgages, and everyday products, well, of course, that's what it is to get you down until you are just a plebe, a coolie, a peasant, a peon, okay? That way they can look down at this spineless. See, this guy, he's a spineless piece of shit. He knows he's a spineless piece of shit. In the real world, on a level playing field, I mean, he would be punked, pushed around. He would probably stick a gun in his mouth to end his miserable life. But with this false authority power known as mammon that he has control over through his international connections. I mean, it's like, you know, Trumpy being born into it. And they pretend like Trump, you know, that these somehow they relate to our lives and shit and what we live. And they're just trying to do what's right for us because, man, or are they more intelligent than us? No. What is the deciding factor? It's mammon. It is the control through the financial. Well, it's like old Rothschild said. He doesn't care who makes the laws, so long as he controls the currency, he controls the country. And that's what you're talking about here. That's what you're seeing, like with the Zuckerberg and this guy for the Allen for the Seahawks. You're seeing all these goddamn money barons coming in, and they're just really taking up the position that you belong to them, and they're gonna manage you. Like the rest of their assets, they're going to manage you. And if you become a cog that doesn't work in the machine, you're really going to cost a drop of oil. Out the door you go, or into the ground you go. Oh, Bloomberg's statements drip with contempt for those of lesser means. Oh, man, the way they got their means. It's all stolen money. It's all stolen from the people they're oppressing with it right now. It's just like when they came across this country the first time. They think they can do it again. It's like they're trying to do this rerun of the Iraq war and do it with, you know, getting Syria and Lebanon and Jordan and Iran and getting all of these countries for the Jews. They would just keep on doing it. Nobody stopped you. Why shouldn't you? That's another couple trillion in our coffers. Well, I mean, we don't get starved to death. We hate them poor bastards anyway. Let's see, Bloomberg's statements drip with contempt for those of lesser means that he and his fellow billionaires means lesser means than him and his fellow billionaires. LaGrade, I guess it is, praising Bloomberg for championing a soda tax because it prevents poor and middle income households from being able to afford soda pop. Sounds like satire. But in this case, it's all too real. Bloomberg's policy agenda isn't just bad policy. It has also provided, I think it should be, it looks like something between proven and providing. So we'll go providing to be terrible politics. Take Santa Fe, which is a left-leaning city where more than 70% of voters cast their vote for Hillary Clinton in 2016. Last year, voters were resoundingly rejected with nearly two-thirds of the vote, the same type of soda tax that Bloomberg is pushing all over the country. It's worth noting that the Santa Fe soda tax ballot measure received its highest level of support in the most affluent areas of Santa Fe. So all the rich people who can afford to pay this and drink what they goddamn well please, they back you taxing you. I mean, it's just like the guns, to tax you right out of your goddamn right to exist. Where people closer to Bloomberg's considerable means and sophisticated tastes lives, whereas voters living in lower income and predominantly Hispanic neighborhoods overwhelmingly voted against this regressive tax. Bloomberg's soda tax on Chicago residents was so reviled that it was overwhelmingly repealed. Bloomberg's remarks were made on April 19, 2018 at the IMF, that's International Monetary Fund, spring meeting. That's the rich deciding, I mean, just how they're going to treat their herds of animals, okay? Get used to it. But I can't see that. That just can't be. I can't figure that out in my head just by reading that. I can't put two and two together. Can't connect the dots. The U.S. is running out of bombs, and it may soon struggle to make more. Jeez, how could we be running out of bombs? I mean, we're the peaceful country. We're the peacekeepers of the earth, aren't we? This is from Defense News. It was sent in by Gray Rider for discussion on From the Trenches, worldreport.com. The Pentagon plans to invest more than $20 billion in munitions in the next budget, but whether the industrial base will be there to support such massive buys in the future is up in the air at a time when America is expanding munitions at an increasingly intense rate. See, we're getting ready to go and invade in the Middle East and for our Jewish masters. And this is why this is being brought up, because there's some people aren't going to go for it. And the fact is, they have removed our industrial base in this country to the point, well, it looks to me like we couldn't fight a war if we had to. We would be at a great disadvantage. Running out of bullets, I don't think it's good during a war. In the annual Industrial Capabilities Report put out by the Pentagon's Office of Manufacturing and Industrial Base Policy, has concluded that the industrial base of the munitions sector is particularly strained, something the report blames on the start and stop nature of munitions procurement over the last 20 years, as well as the lack of new designs being internally developed. They called all of our engineers, all of our designers. I mean, those people went out on the goddamn streets. They lost their homes. A lot of people living in tent cities that had the degrees that were the people that did this shit. Now what they're telling us is we're about back to third world. We can't even build our own frickin' munitions. Some suppliers have dropped out entirely, leaving no option for replacing vital materials. Other key suppliers are foreign-owned with no indigenous, that's it, capability to produce vital parts and materials, setting up the risk of a conflict with China. Could rely on Chinese-made parts. And that's all these billions and trillions that you're paying out to this military complex. Well, that's actually going to other countries. You're not even manufacturing the weapons of death in your own country. Some of them you are, enough till you can go to places like South Carolina and say, vote for the Republicans for the industrial war complex for your job. And, you know, as far as the expending of the goddamn materials, well, hell yes. I mean, we've been at constant war for, what, 15 years now? Constant. Well, we go into it deeper here. And the military's desire to tinker with existing designs rather than create brand new weapons has left the industrial base with a lack of design experience, which means design skills for critical components within the missile sector industrial base are at risk. And this is going to be their excuse why we lost our country. You know, we made a mistake. We pumped a lot of people in here, third worlders, and we took the people who were the brains of the operation, and we drove them right down into the goddamn ground until they blew their own brains out because they lost everything to our swindles and our scams. And that's why the United States lost World War III, because they had no industrial base. There were traitors amongst them who had sent. There was a point in time, and it wasn't that long ago. We had everything here we needed. We could produce whatever we needed, and especially for a war. That's why they had to put us in this international system. It's just like us, you know, competing for our own petroleum products on the world market. What the fuck is that? I mean, I guess it never belonged to us. I guess there's just this big bunch of, it's a small handful of industrialists out there trading back and forth with one another. And we're just their property coin. We're just another chit on their asset list. I own these people over here. I own these people over here. And I manage. I took the soda pop away from mine. And, well, yeah, I got mine under control. We're getting the guns away from them. But the bottom line here is, you know, you come up and this is how it's going to happen, because in this international scene, they don't lose and win wars. It's the people that get crushed and their resources stolen and these swindles and frauds across the goddamn board. And they all sit back in Barbados, or in New Zealand or wherever in the hell their goddamn bank account is or wherever their hideaway place is. And they just kick back and get the profits, drink champagne, while our people, you know, those other people, those insignificant people are out in the mud and the blood and the guts killing other people they don't have a goddamn thing against. And those other people killing them back so that these son of a bitches can just sit back and laugh about it on their mountains of gold. This is what this is the power of mammon. And I mean, people can spout anything they want. You show me something more powerful, I'd like to see it. As the U.S. is expending munitions at a rapid rate. Yeah, you're killing people all over the world, man. For instance, the Special Inspector General for Afghanistan Reconstruction concluded that 1,186 munitions were dropped in that country during the first quarter of 2018. This is full scale, like a goddamn world war. That's how much munitions we're expending around the world in the name of our Zionist masters. I mean, we're over there. How bad are them people in Afghanistan going to hate us? How many civilians do you knock out with 1,186 munitions? And when you're talking munitions, you're talking rockets. You're talking real ordnance coming off a plane or a helicopter. Boom, boom, blowing people, killing, 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 because that's what it's all about. We're dropped into the country during the first quarter of 2018, the highest number recorded for the first 3 months of the year since tracking began in 2013. So it's an escalation. They're over there. This is what it's all escalating. And this is why they're talking about the munitions. We're going to need a whole lot more munitions because we got Syria to take out. We got Lebanon to take out. We got Jordan to take out. We got Iran and sorry, Turkey, you too. That number is also more than 2.5 times the amount dropped in the first quarter of 2017. We were watching TV yesterday, and they showed this a picture of one of our battleships. It was an aircraft carrier, a rare scene from an aircraft carrier. And I'm looking at it, I go, oh, there's my boat, my fishing boat. Oh, there's my house. Because that's where the wealth is going. It's not going. I mean, what we just live a life in bondage and slavery, and all of our wealth goes to kill other people, and this is a real good deal for us. This is our happiness. This is our American dream. This is what they have sold us since Ronnie Reagan. You've heard about him. You know the neocons, the war hawks, the industrial war complex you were warned about. And like I said, when you're sitting here, you're feeling depraved like I do. I know where my shit is. I look out there, and like I said, the rancher out here with a 10,000 acre parcel that belongs to him, controlling 200,000 acres around him. It was deeded to him, don't you know? It was called the water right thing that they made up so many years ago. Or I look, like I said, at this goddamn one of these battle things with these battleships. I mean, these old battleships, one of the graveyards of them, zillions of dollars, or tanks, or whatever you want to have. There's your good life, people. There's your good life.
And that's the Republican platform too, Henry.
Yes, ma'am, it is. But there, people, there is your good life. There is your American dream. It's somebody else's nightmare because you're over there slaughtering people for no goddamn other reason than to take their resources, their good life, their happiness, destroy that, and hand the wealth over to the Jews, so that which are miserable people. They have everything, and they're more miserable than anybody on this goddamn planet, and they cannot get enough misery because they thrive on misery. They thrive on blood and killing and sick, this whole sick shit. It's all right there in that little shithole in the Middle East. That's where all this deprivation, that's where all this misery comes from.
Yeah, but that rancher can't stop us from driving on that public-private road, Henry.
Oh, but if he gets back control, yeah, they can, Mark. They have. When they had control of the BLM, they put big iron gates on them and shit, and shut you clear off. See, there was big iron gates put on there by your government. You know the BLM? Only thing was, those guys had keys and you didn't. You were completely removed from the land. That's why they created the BLM. Like I said, when the people started coming out here to the West, they would be people, that's my public land. I'm going, well, we got to do something about this, Bob and Joe Bob. And we, this is our land. We got to consolidate this. Let's create something. Let's go with this BLM. Let's manage it for them. We'll be the custodians and manage to put an iron gate on it with a lock that they have the only key to. Anyways, guys, we made it to the top of the hour. We will be back tomorrow at 12 Pacific, 3 Eastern for another broadcast of The Word from the Trenches. And until then, man, I mean, I don't want to say it because that's a hell of a way to end the show. And that is The Word from the Trenches.